The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. And in a staggeringly misguided response, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. As is the habit of all sinners, Philip and the rest of the disciples were looking right past God, staring them in the face and speaking in their ear, and seeking God outside of where he promised to be found. They were seeking a way to God and everything but the way God promised to be found. Said simply, they wanted what all sinners want, God on their terms. They wanted God to comfort them by being relevant to their lives. They wanted God to give them peace by doing whatever they desired and meeting their perceived needs, whatever those needs may be. And not surprisingly, Jesus just wasn't doing it for them. He was preaching crazy stuff, rooms in the Father's mansions, going away but coming back. How is that relevant? What peace does some pie-in-the-sky sermon give in the midst of the very real problems going on in their everyday lives? It's no wonder their hearts were troubled. They were hearing, they had things exactly backwards. They were hearing that God is almighty, not them. They were hearing that God is in control, not them. They were hearing that God is being God in a manner that he chooses, and he isn't asking for their opinion or approval or decision to accept it or not. They were hearing that in spite of what they wanted from God, God the Son, preaching God's word of peace and mercy, that's what they were going to get. That's what they got. Indeed, in Jesus, one gets the Father, and in the Father, one gets Jesus. As Luther said, we know no other God except this Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, preaching God's peace and mercy, which means God's peace and mercy can be known only through preaching. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life than the preaching of the Savior Son. He gives the word of God. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, if they couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that he is literally God the Son, then they should listen to his word. That is none other than God the Father's word. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works, better translated words themselves, is how Jesus said it. Again, cure for a troubled heart, comfort from God and peace with him is only given in Jesus' preaching of God's word. And what is God's word that gives peace and mercy? The answer is this: God will never leave or forsake his children. His word of peace and mercy prepares a place for them, even if it cost him everything. Even if his children nail him to a cross, hoist him up as the cursed spectacle of their sin for the entire world to see, and then chunk him in a tomb, he will still prepare a place with God for them, and he will come back for them, giving them his word of peace and mercy. And God is not lying. He doesn't lie. And so he doesn't tell his children he'll prepare a place for them with God if he's not prepared a place for them. This is the promise Jesus gave to the disciples. And then Jesus does something even more amazing. He says that his children will do even greater works than he does. His children will be greater preachers than him. How is this even possible? The answer is that God's word will not be confined to a few disciples in an upper room, or a group of followers in Galilee or in Jerusalem. No, the glorious word of God the Father, preached by God the Son, will be on the loose. It will be worldwide, even in Sumter, South Carolina. How do you like that? Giving comfort and peace to everyone to whom God the Spirit gives ears to hear it. Well, here we are this morning, with a lot of ears to hear, I see them, to hear a promise from Jesus that when his word is proclaimed, he will do exactly what he promises. He cannot lie. So let's hold him to his word, shall we? By the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There, God's word has prepared a place for you, and you are even now with God eternally, just as he promised. So, let not your hearts be troubled. God's word is for you. Amen.